Welcome to the Navy SEAL Mindset. I'm your host, William Branham. Hope you guys are ready to dive in. Let's get ready to roll. This is episode 002. Welcome to the show. Most people, when they think about the Navy SEAL mindset, they think about probably Jocko, maybe Goggins, maybe Rob O'Neill, maybe someone else who I am unaware of that has a big brand out there that is spreading amazing information to the world, who's sharing amazing information with you. The Navy SEAL mindset, the reason I started this podcast was really to share my knowledge with you, share my knowledge with the people who want to learn more, who want to get better, and have a better life, and have a greater impact on the world. That's why I'm sharing the information I have with you. So, you know, there's this thing in the SEAL teams where they, special operations all around, where they talk about, where they say, do not advertise the nature of your work. And when I was in the SEAL teams, I absolutely did not. I rarely told anyone what I did unless I needed to, unless they had a need to know. And I shared whatever I needed to about what I did with the people who needed to hear it. And that's what we did. But for the most part, I did not talk about it, about being a SEAL or the things that we did in the SEAL teams. Now that I'm out of the SEAL teams, I think it's my mission, it's my obligation to share lessons that I learned in the SEAL teams with you, with as many people in the world as possible, to make this world a better place at the end of the day. That's the goal. The goal at the end of the day is to share information and make this world a better place. I run several masterminds with several organizations. And one of the things that we do in these masterminds is we talk about the eulogy. We talk about that dash. The number, that dash is in between the number of when you're born and when you die. What takes place on that dash? What impact can you have on other people's lives in that dash? I would argue that what I did at the SEAL teams was great, but it impacted very few people's lives. I believe that what I'm doing now in sharing lessons learned, sharing information as a civilian will be more impactful. I will impact more people's lives, and I think that's a good thing. And I think, and I hope that you take some of the information that I share with you and you go and impact other people's lives. That's how we make this world a better place. That's how we beat the people who want to hold us down, who want to keep us mediocre. So in this episode, I want to talk about the Navy SEAL mindset, which I like to call the get naked mindset. When I first came up with this idea of the get naked mindset, it was originally about, taking that ego off, taking that armor that we all wear around off, that mask that we're hiding behind off, so that we can become vulnerable and find the courage to ask for help, to get the healing that we actually need. Most of us are, and I include myself when I say most of us, are generally, especially men, we're generally afraid to ask for help because it's a sign of weakness, or at least that's what we think for some weird reason. So anyway, I got some help once upon a time. I talked about it in the last episode, a little bit about CBD, how it helped me and how I started thinking about the things that I learned in the SEAL teams that could positively impact my life, that could change my life to help me on this, the hardest military mission I've ever been on, which was my transition from being in the military to being a civilian. Still on that mission, still extremely challenging, but I'm figuring it out. And I hope that I can help you figure out some things along the way. So back to the get naked mindset. So it originally was about taking that ego off, taking that armor that we all hide behind off to find the healing that we actually needed. And then I thought, what are some things that I did in the SEAL teams that I can share with other people and that can also help me become a better person? And so I wrote a whole bunch of stuff down. And then I remembered I had this this tagline of get naked. And at the end of every show, I say, don't forget to get naked, because I think that's incredibly important. Take off the ego. Become vulnerable every now and then. Only when you need to. But other times you need to be hard to kill. So going back to this idea, this get naked idea, I was like, well, you know, I have this this get naked tagline that I use. So why can't I use that into use that as a way to deliver my message that people are not going to easily forget? So NAKED is an acronym. And because in the military, we love acronyms. So NAKED stands for, the N stands for never quit. The A is accept failure. The K is to kill mediocrity. The E is expose your fears. And the D is do the work. And I think we'll see how this episode goes, how long this goes. I'll probably share each one of these, I call them the five SEAL secrets, each one of these five SEAL secrets per episode. I'll share one per episode and then see where we go. So we'll start off with the N for never quit. And when I say never quit, I don't mean never quit smoking or drinking or pornography or any other vice that you have going on. I mean, when I say never quit, I mean never quit on yourself. The Navy SEAL Creed says, there's a line in there, it says, I will never quit. I persevere and I thrive on adversity. Never quit means go out and do hard stuff. You will feel overwhelmed. You will have times where you feel like the world is stacked against you. That's a good thing. You should feel like that. And when you feel like that, the more you feel like that, the better your life will actually be. You know, it's interesting. Everyone, every freaking guru, motivational, whatever, they all talk about never quitting. No one ever gives you any tools on how to not quit, how to never quit. How can I get past this point where I'm stuck, this plateau that I'm in? And one of the things that I learned in SEER school, SEER stands for survive, evade, resist, and escape. I think we actually started teaching that sort of concept or came up with the idea when I believe it started off with pilots being shot down and then being taken as prisoners, maybe during World War II, maybe Vietnam. I don't exactly know when we started this program, but we started the program and we started sending people who are in high risk jobs that could potentially find themselves captured behind enemy lines. Generally pilots, but because, you know, I was part of a ground force, we did a lot of stuff behind enemy lines. Actually, the last 20 years of Iraq and Afghanistan, we were living behind enemy lines. Everything that we did was behind enemy lines. So, because that's just where we lived. Unless you just count, you know, the base that we lived on was the green zone and everything outside of it was the red zone. And that's just the way that it was. And, but we got through it. So everything that we do, anytime we leave the base, we're in enemy territory 100% of the time. So it was imperative that all of us go to SEER school. And again, during that school, they teach us how to survive. First of all, let's just say some of it's like how to capture food, how to gather water, how to start a fire, how to build a shelter. Those are some of the things that they teach you in the beginning. Then they teach you how to evade the enemy. And they show you, like, kind of if you're in a mountainous terrain, where you need to be, this military crest. It's very difficult terrain to traverse. Everyone is either on top of the ridge or they're all the way down at the bottom. If you stay about 3/4 of the way up that ridge, very hard for you to move, but it's also less likely that you will be captured or seen by the enemy. And so that is part of the, you know, part of it. Part of the evasion is, you know, camouflage, concealment, cover and concealment. Being from the SEAL teams, we pretty much had that one down, building hides out in the and shelters that were very hard for the enemy to detect. Was all things that we were pretty good at, but, you know, many of the other people who were going through SEER school were not really aware that they didn't have much practice building those sorts of things. So, you know, I was there with a bunch of aircrew people and a bunch of pilots and a couple other SEALs. And so the SEALs kind of helped lead and teach those certain skill sets. And then you turn yourself in and you become a prisoner of war. When you become a prisoner of war, they strip you naked. You actually turn yourself in. They strip you naked. They make you put on a jumpsuit. They put a bag over your head. They cuff you. They shove you in a... It's funny, like the things that we're allowed to do to actual terrorists, they did, like, legally, according to the Geneva Convention, the things that we're allowed to do to terrorists when we roll into a target and we wrap guys up, if they give up, we have to treat them a very specific way. And the way that we were treated in SEER school as a prisoner of war was not the same way that we're allowed to be treated. We were, if we did the things that they did to us in SEER school to the prisoners that we had, then we would easily be brought up on charges, against the Geneva Convention, things like that. I don't think the Geneva Convention actually applies to terrorists, but that's neither here nor there. Once you have a prisoner in your charge, you are responsible for their health and well-being and all that other stuff. And that was a learning lesson that we had very early on in starting off in Afghanistan and later on in Iraq. But anyway, SEER school, they taught us this thing called creating small victories. And basically what that is to create small wins. A small victory is, maybe you're out and the enemy didn't find you, or maybe you were able to capture some food, or maybe you were able to find some water that was drinkable while you were out on the survival. A small victory was, you stayed still and the enemy walked right past you and they didn't know you were there. Small victory. Awesome. But eventually you do get captured, and because they want you to learn how to be, how to operate, how to use the code of conduct that they teach you while you're in SEER school. And a lot of that is you're being interrogated. So you start off, you haven't eaten for several days because you've been out surviving in the wilderness for the last 3 or 4 days. They give you plenty of water. They don't let you sleep. You sleep plenty out in the wilderness. Generally, I did. But when you became a prisoner of war, they played, every cell had these speakers with psychedelic music, and it just really fucks with your mind while you're in there. You're completely isolated. They make you sit in a certain position. They come in and they rough you up a little bit. They slap you around. They slam you against the wall. They do all these other things. It doesn't really hurt. I mean, the open hand slap hurts. And then they pull you out of the cell and they start asking you really easy, mundane questions that you're not supposed to answer. And they want you to sign certain documents and they want you to do certain things. And your job is to resist doing those things or answering those questions as long as you possibly can without giving up very much classified information, without giving up very much information. At some point, you need to start giving up information. But when you give up that information, you make it to be on your terms. Creating small victories is about resisting as long as possible, not complying. But when you do decide that your life is in danger now, that you need to comply, comply. But comply on your terms. So if you need to give some information, if it was me and I say, yeah, William Branham, my social security number, and, I might, rather than saying I'm from Collinsville, Mississippi, I might say I'm from Biloxi, Mississippi. It's a little white lie. It doesn't mean anything. But the fact that I took control of the situation, I gave them enough information for them to stop beating me, for them to not kill me so that I can still survive. But I gave them information on my terms. I controlled the chaos that was in my life. I controlled what I could control. I created a small victory. Creating those small victories is oftentimes the difference between life and death. What can you do in your life? What small victory can you achieve every single day? It could be a lesson from what so many other people say. A small victory for you could just be getting up when your damn alarm clock goes off in the morning and not hitting the snooze button. A small victory could be just going to bed at night and not staying up late scrolling your phone until 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, or watching the next episode and the next episode and the next episode of Netflix. What if you just went to bed? What if you just got up? What if you just did one more email? What if you made one more call? What if you just told your wife you loved her? What if you just told your kids that you loved them one more time? Every time you do that, that's a small victory. And the more of these small victories that you create, the more momentum you will have. You know, I talked about earlier, sometimes we feel like our life is completely out of control. There's so much overwhelming stuff going on in our life, in the world. I don't know where to start. It doesn't matter where you start. Just start. Just do one thing. And then do one more thing. It can be the smallest thing possible. You know, a lot of these gurus out there, they talk about, you know, do the hard task first thing in the morning. Do the hard thing first. I think there's a lot of relevance to that, but I for sure don't feel like doing the hard thing first almost ever. I'm an old guy, even though I don't look old. I'm old. I'm 49 years old. I am 100% disabled through the VA, which means I'm 250% disabled if you add everything up, and it's not even everything that's wrong with me that's in my record or that they, you know, applied to that rating. So for me in the morning, it takes me a long time to like get this old creaky broken body up and moving around. I still do some pretty cool stuff, but it takes me a long time to get started. I am not 21 anymore, not 25. Although I still think I am. I still try to do the same things I can do then, but it just takes me a little bit longer. You go to the gym, I don't just like throw 225 and do 5 sets of 10. I have to start off with 135. And then 185. And then I just work my way up. I start off very slow. I have to work out. I have to warm my body up, loosen things up that are tight, things that are broken, things that don't actually work that well. Every time I do that, when I do a good job of warming up and creating those small victories, I can lift more weight. I can do more stuff. So another example of creating small victories, I am the COO of an organization called Man Made, where we are helping men become men again. And in that organization, we go out and we do epic shit. We do epic shit. So we do really hard things. Some of them are in the form of, you know, several days of really hard work with, you know, a few instructors giving you very difficult demands to follow. And other times there, we're going to go out and we're going to do some hard stuff. Like last year, we went and climbed the Grand Teton. This year, we went out and we went out and did the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim in one day. So just to kind of put that into perspective, the 1% of the people who go to the Grand Canyon go to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Of that 1%, 1% of those people go to the bottom and then go to the other rim and then come out. Of those people, only 1% of those people actually do go start at one rim, go to the bottom, across top of the next rim, the other rim, turn around and come back, and then come out. And of that 1%, only 1% of those people do it in one day. So we went out and we did this in one day. And I will tell you that it was top 5 hardest things I've ever done in my life. The top 5 hardest things I've ever done in my life. But it was epic. And, you know, it was hard, but the hard part was when I was coming out of the canyon. So the difference between hiking the Grand Canyon and hiking a mountain is when you climb a mountain, Grand Teton, Everest, whatever it is, you suffer going up, but then you suffer coming down, but you also have gravity on your side. And you know, there's the bottom is, it's down there somewhere. The Grand Canyon is the opposite. You start off at the top and then you hike to the bottom and then you hike across and then up and then come back down, back across. And then you have to hike back up out of the canyon. That last 9 miles, it took me about 5.5 hours. And I was pissed off and angry and sore and tired, and I did not want to do it anymore. And every time I looked up after it got dark and I could see headlamps that were miles and miles ahead of me, I just became overwhelmed. I was like, how am I ever going to get out of here? Like, I don't want to be here right now. How am I going to get out of here? And what I eventually did is I just put my head down. My headlamp was getting pretty dim, low batteries. I just looked at the ground. I had a hat on just like this, probably this exact hat. Looked at the ground, and I can only see about 2 feet in front of me. And all I cared about was going one more step, going one more foot, making it to the edge of that 2 foot circle. And when I decided to just look at the ground and go one more step, over and over and over, every step was a small victory. Every step gave me momentum. Every step got me closer to the top. I did not feel like I was getting closer to the top. The only time I felt like I was getting closer to the top is, you know, is when I hit the snow line. And I knew I still had another probably at least hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to go from where the snow started, which was about 6,000 feet of elevation, to the top. So I know I had about 1,500 more feet of elevation to go. But I just put my head down. I looked at the ground. And eventually, I caught six of the 12 guys that were in front of me, six of the 10 guys that were in front of me, which I was like, how did I even do that? I couldn't believe it because those headlamps were so fucking far away from me. I felt so overwhelmed. The smartest thing I could have done is stopped looking up, stop looking at where I think I need to go, and just look at the ground and do one more step. Just taking one more step. Stop thinking about the big picture. Think about the small victories. One more switchback. One more set of rocks. It's funny, I was like, I would find what I would call a sitting rock. And everyone that did the R3, rim to rim to rim with us, we all knew what a sitting rock was. It was a rock that was pretty flat on top, so I could sit down and be kind of comfortable, but it was just high enough so I didn't have to squat down too far to have that much more work to stand back up. So I was kind of like, my legs were still at about a 45 degree angle, and I would just walk to the next sitting rock, and then I would sit down, sort of sit lean, have some water, have a snack, get up, and do it again. And that's how I got out of there. I created these small victories all the way through, especially at the end. And that is the thing that got me out of that canyon. That's the thing that kept me from being so fucking overwhelmed by the magnitude of how far I had to go and how much more work I had to do. Keep creating small victories. So, and I'll give you one last idea of what it is to create small victories. And then you take this and you use it however you use it in your life. In SEAL training, we have Hell Week. Hell Week is 5.5 days. You're cold, you're wet, you're miserable, you don't sleep. They did let us sleep for about, I think, two and a half hours, probably Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And that was actually the worst thing they could have done to us, was let us sleep, because for once that week you got warm and dry, and then your body starts to swell up because you stopped moving for the first time in 4 days. You start on Sunday night. And then continue on. But one thing is constant during Hell Week, other than carrying that stupid boat on your head, everything is a race, you're cold, you're wet, you're miserable the whole time. One thing is constant during Hell Week that you can count on, like clockwork. And that is, they feed you 4 times a day. It's not like Ranger School where they didn't feed you. I actually could have gone to Ranger School, and then, you know, retrospect, I should have done it. Just so I could say I went to Ranger School and tell all those Army guys to shut up. I've done it. They didn't do SEAL training. But anyway, I can't do that. I didn't do it. I would go to it now, though, just because, but I can't. Ranger School, I didn't go because they didn't feed you. And I'm like, how can I live without food? You'll be fine, actually. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. But in BUDS, in SEAL training, they feed you 4 times a day, 4 meals a day. So it doesn't matter how much it sucks, how much you don't want to put that fucking boat back on your head, how much you don't want to get back in that ocean, how much you don't want to be jackhammering uncontrollably, locked arms with the man to your left and to your right, how many times you don't want to get back in the water, how many times you don't want to listen to the instructors. All you got to do is make it to that next meal. And every time you make it to that next meal, that's a small victory. And you just keep doing that one meal, the next meal. Pretty soon Hell Week is done, and then you're off to the next phase of training. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Remember, the Navy SEAL mindset is all about getting naked. Never quit, accept failure, kill mediocrity, expose your fears, and do the work. And you have to do it every single day. You guys, this was the end. Never quit. Don't forget to get naked. I'm your host, William Branham. You guys stay awesome, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, I have a free gift for you. Go to 5sealsecrets.com, the number 5, SEAL as in Navy SEAL, 5sealsecrets.com. Go download your free copy of these 5 SEAL secrets, and I'll give you a secret. The secret is naked. Naked is an acronym. Go over there and find out what it is. 5sealsecrets.com, totally free. All you got to do is give me your name and email so I can send that to you, and it's all yours. Then you can start learning how to think like a Navy SEAL. Talk to you guys soon.